SMA News Today, daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy.
Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 9. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Today on the show, we welcome Israel and Rio Landa. Israel and Rio are medical professionals who live in Holly Springs, North Carolina, with their two children. Their older son, Mateo, has SMA type 2, and they also have a daughter, Lucy, who is here with us today. So if you hear any baby crying in the back, that's why. So Israel and Rio, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Kevin.
Absolutely. So to start off, I just wanted to talk a little bit about your family's story. So if you could just talk about when Mateo was diagnosed and just kind of those initial stages, and feel free to share as much or as little as you're comfortable with.
Sure. So the shorter version is that, like, 5 months old, he wasn't meeting his milestones. He was the first kid we had and had a lot of prior experience with children. So he wasn't sitting up, wasn't rolling, had a lot of trouble lifting his head up. So our pediatrician at first kind of said that I held him too much. I was a new mom. Mm-hmm. I was with him all the time. So he said, you know, just try playing with him more. So I remember torturing the poor kid, laying him on his belly on the floor and with the toys and doing everything that most SMA parents have done and tried. And then I came back next month and I said, you know, this isn't working. So we went to physical therapy then. And the therapist, after like the first, I think it took like 2 or 3 sessions, she's like, hey, I think we need to, you know, maybe see an outside doctor. We lived in a very small town. We had no pediatric specialists there at all at the time. So except for just pediatricians. So we actually called my dad, and my dad had worked with the Make-A-Wish Foundation at Hopkins. And through that connection, we got a quick appointment, which was 3 months away, because there was, I believe, a 6-month waiting list. That was in 2008-09. And we took Mateo, I think, a few days before his first birthday. And the doctor examined him, and before doing any real tests, just said, hey, I think I know what he has. But he didn't tell us. And then he did another test, and he's like, yeah, you know, he has spinal muscular atrophy. He actually told us to take him home, love him. There's nothing we can do for him. And I was not in the medical field. My husband is, and I just know those 3 words are bad together. He said he has 2 to 8 years to live. There's not much you can do. He'll need a feeding tube. He'll need, you know, breathing machines, and that's all you can do. So,
At that time were you a nurse at that time?
No, I went back shortly after.
Right.
Okay.
So she wasn't a nurse yet.
Okay. But you were already in the medical field?
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm an ER physician, so.
Okay. Had you heard of it at all before?
I had, and unfortunately, my mom, when she first met Mateo, she didn't say anything initially. My sister had spinal muscular atrophy.
Oh, really? Okay.
And she didn't say anything initially. She said she, and this was after the diagnosis, she said, and after, you know, we found out everything, she's like, well, you know, I didn't really want to say anything at the beginning, but when I carried Mateo, he felt weak and floppy like your sister did.
Okay.
So, and that's when my mom finally, you know, she admitted to us, like, you know, I thought that was, there was something wrong. But, you know, we're always afraid of that diagnosis. Rio had no idea that she was a carrier. I knew that I was a carrier.
Uh-huh.
So when we're going through all this, it was torturing, you know, because we're like, what's wrong? And in the back of my mind, in my parents' mind, it's like, man, I hope it's nothing. I hope it's not SMA.
Right.
And sure enough,
we
got a diagnosis from Dr. Dr. Crawford. I'm like, Dr. Crawford. He's great.
So, but we, at first, if he's listening, sorry, we didn't take his advice. We actually have a friend that works with his wife is an SMA specialist, and she's a physician, and we immediately took Mateo to see her, flew out there, and she's been his doctor for the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's 9 now. And really, you know, said, there's a lot you can do. And then we started him on an off-label medication. We've been doing physical therapy. And we try to just, you know, we've tried to always encourage him to do things whenever he can. And he kind of has that attitude, which really helps. So he's doing great now.
Yeah.
No feeding tube. Wears a BiPAP at night.
Yeah.
And he just, he's doing really well.
Well, it's just interesting that the doctor kind of gave that kind of response, because I know, obviously, Spinraza hadn't been in development yet, but it was still, at that time, medical research was a lot farther than it was, when I was diagnosed.
Right. And to be fair, Dr. Crawford did say, hey, you know what, it's an exciting time to have this disease.
Okay.
because he's like, in 5 years, there's something coming in the pipeline. He's like, there's only so much I can tell you and so much that he knows. But he at that point, he referred us to, he also connected us with the families of SMA at that time.
That's okay. Yeah.
So, and that's how we all got in that pipeline, in that network.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what was that experience like, sort of just getting plugged in with them?
That was great. Yeah. I mean, that was fantastic. Like a lifesaver for us, yeah.
We went to see him in March, and we called Families at SMA. It was still a lot smaller then, in 2010.
Yeah.
We actually made that first conference in Santa Clara.
Okay, yeah.
And it was, I mean, we rolled up with Mateo's Britax stroller, and everyone said, oh my God, he needs new stuff. And
yeah, he kept using that stroller.
Yeah, and it was really amazing to see all the equipment. So I think that's the first overwhelming thing. You don't know what your kid needs. Bracing, equipment, and again, we lived in a really small town, so... The options for getting all this stuff was still tricky. We had to drive 3 hours to Atlanta for any specialists and fittings. So that was tricky, but it was great to go to the conference, and everyone's really friendly and has their opinion about something, so it's good to ask what they do.
And I was going to ask later, too, about Spinraza as well, but while you said that, do you travel for Spinraza as well, or do you go to Duke?
We do. We travel to Boston.
Okay, that's why. Yeah. Because I know other families who do it as well.
But. Yeah, we travel to Boston for Spinraza. Injections are going great.
We are
excited about it. He's pretty stable, knock on wood, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can go ahead and talk about that. I was going to say, so when did he start on that process?
So he was, another bad case, he was excluded from a clinical trial. We tried to get him in it twice, actually, because he has like a heart condition that's his long QT.
Okay.
So I guess the FDA doesn't like if you have an EKG abnormalities. Being in a study, so he was excluded. And I remember we were at my best friend's wedding in Pennsylvania, and we got the email that it had been approved. So I immediately emailed Boston and was like, oh my gosh, how do we get Mateo in?
Right.
And this is where I guess us being medical professionals numerous times has helped us, but we actually started to write the letter, prior authorization letter, letter of medical necessity for, I think we ended up writing a 4-page letter of why he needed Spinraza.
Yeah.
And it actually got approved.
That's really awesome. Just,
I think it took a little bit because all the sites weren't quite ready to deploy it yet.
Sure,
it was a little bit of a logistical nightmare with the LP.
Sure.
But yeah, so we actually, the next month, he was dosed like February 5th or something like that.
Okay, and how many doses has he had now?
He's had all 4 loading doses.
Okay.
So 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, yeah. And so, what, as far as the process, kind of like, what kind of changes have you noticed since it all started?
So, for Mateo, I'm nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. He's not jumping out of his wheelchair or doing anything like that, but he was starting to have a lot of trouble chewing. He was, food made a cob really, really small. Mm-hmm. He was using his hands. He couldn't use utensils as well.
Sure.
Respiratory-wise, he still got sick every 3 months. You know, with his dad being a doctor, it's nice because we can call in what he needed, and we never had to go to the hospital or a pediatrician. Stuff like that, we noticed. So, with Spinraza, he's able to, he feeds himself pretty much all the time now. He uses utensils, which is really good. And he has not been sick in a long time.
That's like,
And he has better head control.
His better head control. He's not been sick in a long time. I mean,
that's
almost a year. We had a fluke GI virus, and that was it. We know about that. So.
Yeah. That's so really cool.
It's been really good.
And as far as like eating, does he use any tools to help like with his arc? He can fully lift his arms and everything.
Yeah, he lifts his arms up. He uses elbows a lot. Uses physics to help him.
Sure.
But he uses forks and spoons.
Okay.
He eats soup by himself. And we joke now that he doesn't eat us anymore.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's cool. And what grade is he in now?
He's in second.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. And like, I mean, does he have an aide with him in school and everything?
So school's tricky. He's really good at having people do stuff for him.
Okay, yeah.
So in school, he has an aide. We've had to work really hard with them on making sure he does the work.
Sure.
And we try to stay really strict with his academics. You know, we expect him to do really well.
Sure.
Just like you and any other kid. And, we take him to after school Kumon. And so there's no reason why he can't do as well as he's capable of.
Right.
At first, my mother says that's mean and we're torturing him, but
No, that
we'll pay off later.
That's, I mean, my parents always raise me normally, and have exactly. to, and you have to treat them to advocate for themselves, everything.
And
so, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
he went to state, and that's a big inspiration for Mateo.
Yeah,
he
that's
loves
really
state.
Awesome.
He did a campus.
Okay,
so
good.
That's where he's going. Apparently.
Go Wolfpack! All right, yeah, that sounds awesome. Well, I guess on that note too. So a question I like to ask kind of all guests on here, whether they're an SMA patient or mm-hmm. parent, is kind of like what your daily life is like. So. Could you, so you have Mateo and then you have Lucy here, it doesn't have SMA, what's kind of like a typical day of the week or a week, you know, work week like for you guys?
Typical day, mom is probably the best person for that.
So we actually, we have a little bit different scenario. My husband works shift work nights.
Okay.
And it can be like 10 days on, 5 days off, or it can be 3 days on, 2 days off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a nurse, finishing up graduate school for nurse practitioner, so my schedule's kind of at the mercy of my clinicians I work with. So, typical day, we actually have someone that lives with us that helps
okay.
Mateo. So getting up for school, I usually help if some days I leave really early, some days I don't. We'll get him up, help him. We drive him to school, he doesn't take the bus. He said the bus hurts his back when we were on a field trip, so we take him to school. He goes in just like every other kid, mm-hmm. does his full day. His aide helps him with all his stuff at school. He uses his iPad at school a lot for writing, for most writing assignments. And that's another thing Spinraza has helped with. He's able
right.
to write much better.
Right.
So it's really cool, especially math.
That's really
math
cool.
On iPad is very hard.
Yeah, I used an iPad throughout college, so I mean, it worked. Yeah, yeah.
Perfect, yeah. And then we come home, and he does his homework. We have a pool. He swims. He loves video games. So anything electronic, he's begging to play. We watch a lot of movies. I mean, we're pretty much like,
yeah,
you know, normal.
We try to have a normal or relatively normal life. But we do have some limitations.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like when we went to Florida, you know, he wanted to ride a roller coaster.
Yeah, we just
obviously.
Oh, talking about, yeah, this was recently.
He's
Yeah. Okay.
Last,
okay. Yeah.
Last weekend, and it's like he wanted to ride a roller coaster, and
apparently, at university, you're not allowed to wear back braces now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, which is strange.
See, Universal, I have not been to because,
okay.
like, we've been to Disney plenty of times, and we've always heard that like Universal is a little, I don't know, less scenic everywhere. Like, there are more challenges there.
Yeah.
What? Like, what was it like?
We went and it wasn't busy, which was great.
Okay.
But we had his TLSO on.
Okay.
Because it helps hold him up. And I was going to ride the rides with him and just kind of hold his head back. Which
sure.
are the ones that, you know, nothing upside down. And,
right, right.
But a lot of them are like the 3D where you shake.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of sit and hold him in a seatbelt. We're fine.
Okay.
And they saw his back brace. They wouldn't let him on. I'm like, well, then he can only ride Dr. Seuss and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we put his brace underneath his shirt and put his shirt on top.
That's right.
So then we took him around, and it's kind of funny, because they'd say, well, can he move? And he'd just shake his arms a little bit, and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
So we were able to ride just about everything we
okay,
wanted
that's
to.
Cool.
I think I was more angry, upset about it than he was.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
as a parent,
yeah.
you're like, man, you know, and he was like, whatever.
I mean, it's like, that's like the whole park is like, yeah, like, yeah.
Those 3D.
Yeah.
Rides. And I guess for us, I mean, could he get hurt? Possibly. I'm pretty strong. I lift weights for fun.
Sure, sure.
Make sure I help him in life. So, I mean, could he have probably, but it was fun.
Sure,
it was
yeah.
You know, like, he calls me a risk taker.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
I try to do things with him.
I mean, that's how you, and
you
like,
know?
And it's advocating
it's
for yourself
story.
When,
exactly,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's fun, you know. So.
But it's interesting hearing that because like with Disney, I mean, yeah, there are definitely rides I can't do, especially
yeah.
now that I used to be able to, but generally it's a lot of like car ones and stuff like that where like, you, as long as you can get into the car or like the wheelchair can get on, you can do most of the stuff
exactly,
at Disney
yeah.
except for the crazy roller
Disney
coasters.
Disney was a lot more friendly than you
right.
Yeah, but the back brace thing was through me for a loop.
Yeah. Interesting.
So
that's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
Interesting solution for that.
But
yeah.
But it was fun.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and this so we've touched on a little bit already, but so you both are medical professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So. Can you just talk about kind of like each of your careers and then kind of how that's impacted you as SMA parents?
Sure. Well, I'm an emergency room physician.
Okay.
I'm trained and boarded in emergency room medicine. And it's tricky because I see the extremes of it, and I see what we have at home. And so when he gets sick before Spinraza, we would try to medicate him at home just because I hate going to the doctor. I hate going to the emergency room because that's where I work, and I know the whole process.
Right, right.
And sometimes I think as healthcare professionals, we tend to minimize his symptoms because you're like, oh, you know, we'll take him right home.
Right, right.
And then I know there was one time before he got to Spinraza, he had pneumonia. And I told Rio, I was like, hey, I think he looks sick. And he's like, no, we can handle it at home. You know, and sure enough, he was getting sicker. Eventually, we ended up taking him to Duke, to the emergency department.
That's what the caught one, the bouncy car ride.
Right.
He got him better.
Right. Because, I mean, he had an air plug, you know, a mucus plug.
Yeah.
You know, but he was getting, he looked sick at home, and I was like, man, we can't take care of him at home.
Yeah.
And so we kind of, it's kind of a mixed blessing because I can take care of him. We can handle most of the stuff at home.
Yeah.
But then we'll reach the point where it's like, holy crap, we should probably take
him to the hospital.
I think
yeah.
The last time I saw you, I think in at the panel.
Yeah.
You said you like the vest a lot.
I do. I use the vest and cough assistant.
A game changer for you.
It really, because I got a bad case of pneumonia when I was in 2010. I was a sophomore in high school, and that was before I had the cough assist, which I didn't really like at that point. And my pulmonologist has been bugging me to use it. The nice thing about the vest is it goes really well with the cough assist.
Okay.
Because it kind of loosens up the airflow in your body and in your system. And then the cough assist helps you get all the mucus out.
Yeah.
So I actually, I really enjoy doing the vest because it's kind of, well, I listen to music or whatever while I'm doing it because it's more time consuming than and so that's the disadvantage. But I would actually say it's more comfortable than using the cough assist because the cough assist is a lot, like, it's shorter, but it's much more draining to me. I don't know. Just those few minute sessions take more energy for me. But, yeah, the vest I actually really like using.
Good, yeah. Because you told me that, and I was like, well, maybe we should use ours more. So I pulled it out, and we don't use it every day.
Sure, yeah.
But definitely kind of start to feel something like that, we'll use it. And like I said, he's been great. So I was like,
Yeah.
So thanks.
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah. It's really cool, some of the tools out there. I got sick again earlier this year, and, like, I was only in the hospital for a little bit because we were able to do a lot of take care of myself at home, you know, with all the equipment.
Exactly.
So it's interesting. But yeah. And then you just graduated. Mm-hmm. Are you working as a nurse now?
No, I stopped working because I had Lucy's almost a year old.
So okay, yeah.
I had to stop working and do clinicals. Being in the healthcare field and having a child with SMA, it definitely helped. Even when Mateo got his first wheelchair at 20 months old, which at the time was, that was in 2010. It was still really early. Like, everyone's like, how'd you get that approved? You know, we wrote the letter.
That's really cool. Yeah.
And we know the lingo.
Yeah. Right,
and,
right.
You know, and what they're looking for and, like,
and our therapist wrote a letter.
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff like that's really, really helped. We got a stander approved through one insurance company, the powered stander. So we've, you know, been really able to use it to our advantage in that aspect, and that helps.
Yeah, that's
we've shared our letters too.
Yeah, we shared them.
With other families. You know, just because it helps, you know, to put in those keywords, you know.
Yes.
Will help with activities of daily living.
Exactly.
And, you know, stuff like that.
The FDA wants to hear.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of that, so Rio, you and I were both at the patient-focused drug development conference. I'm still amazed I'm able to say that, but last in 2017. So that was in Maryland. Could you just talk a little bit about that experience and kind of what it was like speaking with members of the FDA?
Yeah, I think it was really good for them to hear a variety of life experiences of families and patients with SMA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think everyone has a little bit different of a viewpoint.
Sure.
Not everyone spoke to the tune of, we all want medication now.
Right.
But I think we all had the same thing that we just want ourselves or our family members to live healthier lives. You know, and I think that's what I think we were able to get across.
Yes.
And I think they really heard that. And I think the other thing that's really important, especially with Spinraza, and is that not seeing improvement is not a bad thing. You know, stability is really good in this disease. So, I think we really hit that hard. I think that was definitely a good takeaway for the FDA to hear, because they do have such a voice with you know, what can be approved and what, you know, insurance companies will approve. And
right.
That's really the...
Well, and it's speaking as an adult with SMA, exactly. It's like, I mean, people kind of around me want, you know, these big miracle things to happen with Spinraza, and I tell them, I'm like, I mean, yeah, it'd be great if something like that happened, but I can't control that. For me, the big thing is just stopping the progression.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think insurance companies hear that as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, sure, like, Mateo's doing great, you know, he can feed himself better.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, he's been healthier, less doctor visits, you know, less hospital visits. Remember the first time he ended up getting intubated, our bill was like $130,000. Yeah, for like 4 days in the ICU.
Yeah.
You know, he's not been in the unit for, after that one time.
Yeah.
You know?
And right.
And those are things that matter.
Right. It's like that's in something bigger than the more tangible, visible things that people say, you know?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, that was one of my questions. I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to say just about either your family life or just anything you want, you know, like our society to better understand about people with SMA, about people with disabilities.
I guess everyone kind of assumes, you know, Mateo has something cognitively wrong.
Right.
It's really funny then when they hear him speak.
Yeah.
He's more articulate than I am.
He's more, he's very articulate. He's not, you know? Not shy about anything. And,
yeah, that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Don't judge him. Don't judge his book by his
friend. No.
Because it's like these SMA kids are, you know,
really smart.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, and it is still crazy how many people still assume, like, when someone has a physical disability,
right,
that means they have a mental, and that's just not, So
yeah,
that's definitely a stigma that we can help defy, for sure.
But it's, I know I'm also in my pitch, I'm a big advocate for, you know, patient care and just bracing and, you know, just trying to be as healthy physical therapy as long as you can.
Sure.
They are more drugs in the pipeline, but
that's what I was going to say.
I'm a big advocate for that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for joining us today and sharing your story.
Thanks.
This was great. So
thanks,
absolutely. So to our listeners out there, for more stories like Rio and Israel's, you can find all episodes of the SMA News Today podcast on iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud, and here on our website at smanewstoday.com. You can also find our YouTube channel and our forums all through the main website. Be sure to follow us for daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy. I'm Kevin Schaefer. We'll see you next time.